This is With Intrepid Heart Sermons, sermons preached by Reverend Adam Moline at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. You can find our website at goodshepherdlincoln.org, and the texts for our sermons each week follow the historic one-year lectionary. Let's listen in to today's sermon. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Dear Christians, members of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, friends, and especially family of Sharon, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our epistle lesson will be the focus for our sermon today. And it's probably not a well-known epistle lesson from the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and yet it's important enough that at every single graveside service that we do here at Good Shepherd, we read those words. Words that say this: "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope." St. Paul writes those words to the Thessalonians, who are watching beloved family members and friends pass away, who are asking the question, is this the end or not? Can we keep our hope when we mourn and weep and feel pain? Or is this entire life for naught? Paul says we mourn with hope. Hope in Jesus, the crucified and raised to life Jesus. And since Christ has been raised, we know that those who die in the faith will one day be raised as well. And that's what we'll look at today. Paul says in those words, I do not want you to be uninformed about those who are asleep. Uninformed, what does that mean? Asleep? What's going on? What does Paul mean with these particular words? Why are they so important that we read them at every graveside service? First, let's begin with that word asleep. We don't want you to be uninformed about those who are asleep. When St. Paul talks about those who are asleep, what he's speaking about is death. He calls death just asleep. When St. Paul does this, he's actually quoting our Lord Jesus Christ, who also himself calls death just asleep. He does this in Matthew chapter 9, when Jesus is called to the house of a young girl who had passed away by her weeping and mourning parents. They say, our daughter has died. Jesus says, she's not dead. She's only asleep. When the family of the young girl hear this, can you imagine what they thought? They weren't any different than you or I. They knew what death was. They knew, just as my parents told me when I was a child, that death is forever, that nothing can undo death, that it's permanent, that it's horrible, that it's the end. But Jesus calls it just asleep. Jesus calls it just asleep because when you go to sleep every day, what happens the next morning? You wake up. You arise. open your eyes, you get up, and you go about your day. You have thousands of days in your life where this has been your experience. You go to bed and you wake up. You have plenty of evidence that it will continue to happen as well. Tonight you'll go to bed and tomorrow you'll wake up. Jesus calls death asleep because he knows the truth for the young girl in Matthew chapter 9. That she will wake up. Sleep is not really a big deal. The world doesn't believe this. The world thinks that death is forever, that it cannot be undone. When someone is dead, they are dead, and that nothing can change that. Christ knows better. He knows the truth, that it's temporary, that it's a sleep, from which the young girl in Matthew chapter 9 will wake up at his word when he speaks to her. After all, Christ knows that he is God in our human flesh, that he has power over death, that death is subject to him, that he can tell death what to do, that he can even say to one who has passed, "Arise," and they will arise. And to prove it, Jesus does just that. In Matthew chapter 9, he says, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And when the word of Jesus comes to that girl's ears, she wakes up. She is better. She is healed. She is given back to her family, who welcome her to the new morning of her life with joy. It's not just there in Matthew 9 that this happens. It happens also with the death of Lazarus, the friend of Jesus. Jesus stands at his grave where he has been asleep in death for 4 days, and he calls down into its entrance, "Lazarus, I say to you, come out." And when Jesus speaks those words, Lazarus wakes up and comes out. Christ has that power, and he uses that power. There are some pastors who even point out that every time Jesus raises someone from the sleep of death, he uses their name, because if he only said, "Wake up," all the dead over all the world would arise at his word. He's saving that for the last day that is to come. Then all the dead will be raised. So in our epistle lesson, when Jesus speaks about the sleep of death through the mouth of St. Paul, it's this that he's speaking about. Now, we don't want you to be uninformed about this, St. Paul says, like the rest of the world is. That's why St. Paul writes the words that he writes. Most of the world believes, as I already told you, that dead is dead and that it is forever. There are even those in our world who rejoice in death, who celebrate death, who are glad for death, who put loved ones to death through medical means, who even kill those who are most defenseless and celebrate in the streets about it. The world is uninformed about death because the world doesn't believe Christ's words. But you, dear Christians, know the truth that Christ will wake all of those who are asleep, just as St. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 4. He has that authority to do so because he himself has passed through death. In the waters of holy baptism, the sins of all people have been placed squarely onto the shoulders of our Lord Jesus Christ. He went to the cross for those sins. He bled and died that they might be forgiven. And on the third day, he rose again from the dead to live forever. Jesus is alive right now. Jesus ascended into heaven. He sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, as we just confessed. He is alive, and he now has power over death for all people. Even for you, even for me, and even for Sharon. Today we gather to mourn our beloved Sharon, a woman who was a delight during her life, who blessed the lives of many other people around her, a woman who believed that Jesus has power over life and death. Sharon believed that fact her entire life. She believed the truth that all had sinned and that all had to die because of that, but that Christ had paid the price for those sins. And that God, in his great love for his people, desired not death, but rather that people should repent and live in Jesus. By his work, by what he accomplished. Sharon loved this truth, and she believed this truth. That's why it's such a blessing when Pastor Goodroad, the vicar, and I were able to come and to visit Joe, to talk to you and Sharon, to bring you God's word and gifts, to strengthen your faith in Jesus Christ, the hope that Sharon held in her heart. Not only when we visited you in your home, but Sharon also loved the opportunities she got to come right here into this room to hear God's word, to sing the hymns with the entire congregation, to receive Christ's body and blood for forgiveness, life, and salvation. She loved being here. In fact, the last time that you guys were able to come together was at the senior Thanksgiving dinner that we had, a week or two before Thanksgiving. She spoke about it for months afterwards. She loved being here, eating turkey with all of her friends who were gathered here, coming in here to receive Christ's body and blood. I have to tell you this, and it's not necessarily a part of the sermon. She loved it so much, my daughter, Ella, helped her carry her tray to the table. And every time I visited her after that, she said, "How's Ella? She's such a sweet girl. She helped me carry my tray." And she usually said, Joe, give Pastor $10 for Ella. Joe. Being here at church was such a memory for her. She just loved being here. Even the last time we saw her in her home, she still wanted to hear God's word. Even though she was beginning to feel pain, even though her Parkinson's was slowly making it harder and harder to move around, making her more and more uncomfortable. Church attendance was becoming a trouble and a challenge, but she still loved Jesus. She still wanted to hear his word. She needed more and more help from Joe and from the family, and we were glad to bring God's word to her. Her faith in Christ stayed strong. And that's a good thing, because Christ died for her sins and for all of yours as well. Christ took all of Sharon's sins upon his shoulders, as well as all of yours. He died for them. He poured out his blood to cover them over. She is clothed in the robe of Christ's righteousness, symbolized by this white sheet, a funeral pall that lays over her now. She wears a matching garment at this very moment, standing before Jesus, seeing her face to face with her own eyes, as we heard in our Old Testament lesson. She sees God. She is glad. She is at peace. She is in heaven. And she looks forward to seeing all of you there in that Christian faith as well. And she looks forward to the last day that St. Paul is writing about, when her body will be raised, and when she will live not only in her soul and her spirit with God, but in her own flesh, restored, made perfect, Parkinson's no longer a memory even for her. She looks forward to that day, which is coming soon and very soon. And that's what St. Paul is writing about in our epistle lesson. Don't be uninformed, dear Christians, about those like Sharon who are asleep, for they will wake up. They will live again in their flesh. Christ is coming back, St. Paul writes, with angels, with archangels, with the sound of the trumpet of God. All the dead will be raised. It is not a secret event. It will be seen by us with joy and happiness. And all the dead will be raised. And all of those, just like Sharon and you and me, who believe in Christ, will be alive with Jesus, world without end. That's our hope that we cling to even as we mourn and weep and hurt and miss and remember. Sharon is not forgotten by God. Today is not Sharon's end. She's merely asleep. Asleep in Jesus. Asleep. And she will rise. Always, always to be with the Lord. That's our hope. Strengthen one another with these words. Trust in these words. Believe these words, because they're words that are true. Today's epistle lesson is a text of comfort. Comfort for all in that faith. Comfort. Because those who die will wake up just as Jesus promised, Sharon included. For Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.
That concludes today's sermon from Pastor Adam Moline. For more information about the Lutheran faith, check out our church website, goodshepherdlincoln.org. The title of this podcast, With Intrepid Heart, comes from the conclusion to the Book of Concord, where it is written, "This is our faith, doctrine, and confession, in which we also are willing, by God's grace, to appear with intrepid hearts before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of it." God's blessings on your day.